You and I live in two worlds. One of those worlds is the material, physical world all about us. The other world is an inner spiritual world. There was a time in our past when we confused those two worlds, when we didn't know something about our material, physical world. We use God to fill the gaps in our knowledge. If we didn't know something or couldn't explain something, we use God as an answer to that vacuum. We still have some remnants of this idea. For example, many casualty insurance companies carry a category of disasters that fall under the general heading of acts of God. This includes such natural phenomena as lightning, floods, earthquakes, and other natural catastrophes. An illustration of this is the present alignment of the earth with the moon at a time when the earth in its elliptical course around the sun is at its very closest point to the sun. As a consequence, it puts great gravitational pull on the earth, and on both the east and the west coasts, they are experiencing unusually high tides. And the people who live on those coastlines, whose property is damaged, are going to find that their policies call for losses due to an act of God. It really isn't an act of God, at least not directly. It is simply a natural phenomenon that occurs about every generation. But today we are no longer in need of God to explain our natural physical world. We no longer need God as a presupposition. In this sense, we live in an entirely secular world in which God has been pushed out. Bonhoeffer has called this a religionless world. The problem with this view is that many people today live their lives as if this were the only world. However, the other world, the unseen world, is no less real because it cannot be seen. You see, the other world is the inner world of values. It is the inner world of aspirations, of sufferings, of the heart, of joy, of sorrow, of ecstasy, of despair. But most of all, it is the world of God. Is your inner world real to you? In many ways, I suspect for all of us, the inner world is the most real world of all. It is in this inner world of my mind and my heart that my greatest reality lies. It is there in that inner world that we love, that we hate. It is there that we lust, that we have compassion. It is there we dream and envision. It is there where our ideas and our ideals are born that help shape us into who and what we are. Were this not so, we would be strictly determined by the external circumstances of life. Our behaviors would be explained in physical terms. But man is able to rise above that material world. And in the inner world of the spirit, he is able to have courage and greatness and forgiveness. So we live in two worlds. We live in this material, physical world that is open to scientific exploration and examination. A world that needs no God to explain how it operates. But we also live in an inner world, A world that, in a real sense, is beyond the reach of science, for it is a spiritual world. Is the physical world more real because we can see it, touch it, feel it? Is it more real because we can examine it, get it under a microscope? Or is the inner world less real because it cannot be measured or examined in the same way? For example, how does one measure love? How does one measure loyalty? How does one get a principle or an ideal under a microscope? How does one get character or devotion measured by a scientific scale? Indeed, how does one measure the spiritual world and God? As a matter of fact, didn't Jesus say something about which is the real world? Didn't he say, "The kingdom of heaven is within you"? Didn't he say, "You are in the world, but I have chosen you out of the world"? And in the high priestly prayer in the 17th chapter of St. John, didn't he say, "I am not of the world"? So Christians don't belong to the material, physical world. We belong to the spiritual world of God. Isn't that what St. Peter meant when he spoke of our lives here on earth as being our time of exile? And isn't that what he meant when he called Christians aliens and exiles in the world? And I never quite thought of that until I read Peter, that you and I are exiles, aliens, in a strange world where we do not truly belong. Now, all of us here this morning do indeed belong to the material physical world. We can't help that. It is simply a fact of our lives. But we also belong to the spiritual world, the world where we relate to God. Now, I don't mean to imply that these two worlds are mutually exclusive. Some have thought so. For example, today there are many who say that the religious world must not be allowed to impinge upon the material physical world, and from this world we should remove all symbols of the inner spiritual world. By the same token, there are those who have gone into monastic style lives in an effort to separate themselves totally from the material world. But the spiritual world invades the material world. And the invasion doesn't so much change the material world as it changes the men and women within it. And in doing that, it does begin to change the world. Does that make any sense to you? The thing that makes you and me different from the rest of the created world is just one thing: our capacity for God, our spiritual dimension, our inner lives. And the person who has a poor, impoverished inner world turns out to be a very, very worldly human being. And that's what Holy Communion is all about. It is a bridge between two worlds, a bridge between the seen and the unseen. It is a bridge where space touches non-space. It is a bridge where time looks into eternity. It is a bridge where the finite touches the infinite. You and I live in two worlds, but we cannot be loyal to both at the same time. Do you remember the story of Elijah on the mount competing with the priests of Baal? And Elijah says to the Hebrews, "How long will you limp between two opinions? If God is God, follow Him. If Baal is God, follow Him. But don't limp between two opinions." Jesus said it even better. "No man can serve two masters," He said, "else he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will cling to the one and despise the other. And then he concluded, you cannot serve God and mammon. Here at the table of Jesus, God reaches out to touch our physical world in a way that we can touch and feel and taste. And he says, here is my body, my blood, broken, shed for you. The unseen reaches out to touch the seen. He says, choose which world you will belong to. Many of us are cripples, limping between these two worlds, unable to make up our minds and to commit ourselves totally to one or the other. And this morning, Jesus invites us to cross his bridge, to choose his world. After all, as he put it, no man can serve two masters. Let us pray.